This is episode 55 of the School of Business Makers with Asteli Ngarambe. And today we'll be discussing about branding in a digital world. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another amazing episode of the School of Business Makers. As always, this is episode 55, season 3. And today I have an amazing guest, and she's a brand builder, growing business, passionate about growing businesses in emerging markets. On top of that, she's also passionate about building talent as well as contributing to driving the consumption of African products/brands, both in Africa and all over the world. And joining me, she's Nandan Asteli Ngarambe. Asteli, welcome to the conversation.
Thank you so much for having me. Hello, hello.
How are you today?
I'm doing great. I'm doing fantastic. I feel energized, really looking forward to this.
Wonderful. I know we've been planning this for a while now, and I'm really honored to have you on the show. But let me start with my first question as we dive deeper. How did you end up first being in branding and marketing? Can you share with us?
Okay. So this is going to date me, but it's fine. I started out as an experiential marketer. So from the beginning, I've always been very passionate about building brands, about business. And I started working actually when I was 16. And at the time, for your listeners who live in Rwanda, there used to be Expo and it was a huge thing. And I worked there as a customer service lead. So I used to lead the customer service then. And while I was doing that at Expo, the brand that we were representing actually won best customer service across Expo of that year. And this actually sparked my interest in brands. And, you know, I had a number of small jobs every holiday after that. And I was lucky enough to join a Pan-African experiential marketing agency. So are you familiar with what an experiential marketing agency is?
No, please educate me.
So an experiential marketing agency is a company that creates sixth sense experiences for brands. So it's beyond just the general marketing and advertising, but it's more of how creating holistic campaigns and experiences where consumers get to build a connection with the brand. So I was very lucky to work for a company that does this in 17 countries in Africa, and I was trained both in Rwanda and in Kenya. So I worked there for about 5 years, and then moved on to working or leading the marketing department for Silicon Valley startup, where I was lucky enough to work in Rwanda, in Tanzania, in Ghana, in Côte d'Ivoire. And you know, throughout my marketing experience, I've worked with brands in the FMCG space, so the fast moving consumer goods. I've also worked with social enterprises. I've worked with NGOs. I've worked also with companies that are in the renewable energy space. And yeah, and today I'm working with a social enterprise and helping build that brand. And I also support, where possible, companies that are companies and individuals that are trying to build and scale their businesses across Africa and in the Rwandan market. Yeah, I hope that answers your question.
Wonderful. What experiences you've accumulated over the years? That is really impressive. And growing up, did you dream about being a brand builder, or you had completely different dream as a child?
Actually, strangely enough, I wanted to work as an auditor. So my degree is in finance. And so this is something that I wanted to do. So while I started at the experiential marketing company, I was like, you know, I'm here for a short time. And I was lucky enough to be mentored by the CFO of that company. And CFO of that company, but she was based in Uganda. So I told her, you know, I really want to be you someday. And she's like, you know what, Esteli, given your personality, I wouldn't advise you to get into this. And I'm like, well, you know, I really want to do this. I really want to do finance, something, you know, I studied this. I really want you to help me. And she told me, and she really advised me. She took me through her experience, although she was very successful, but she told me, she advised me that, you know, that I should continue in the marketing space, considering that I had a talent for it and I was very passionate about working with people and brands. And, you know, I listened to her and I continued.
So it's like marketing and branding comes naturally with you. It's like a born skill. Is that correct?
Oh, well, thank you. I can only concur.
Okay.
But yeah.
Okay. Beautiful. And for some of the listeners who have no clue about branding, can you shed some light? Mm-hmm. What is branding in simple words, and how is branding important for small businesses, especially in the digital world we are living in?
Building a brand means making your brand recognizable, making your brand stand out, making your business stand out. And a brand is, you know, you have a brand when it's easy for people to recognize your products. It's easy for people to recognize the service that you offer. It's easy for people to associate experiences, emotions, to what it is that you deliver. So that is branding. And the importance of branding for small businesses, particularly now, is something that now in the digital world is something that I'd like to equate to the Darwinism. Do you know the theory of the theory of evolution? Well, it's more, you know, I used to study biology. So, you know, I'm very passionate about nature, and something that really stood out for me, you know, as I observe the world, is that really we experience the theory of evolution in everything that we do. And, you know, in the theory of evolution, it's only animals that stand out, that are best fit for the environment, that reproduce and have offspring and definitely thrive. So this, if you bring that back to branding and business, it's, you know, in the digital world, it's extremely important for businesses to stand out, to be recognizable, and especially in the digital space, use technology or implement technology in some part of the services that they offer. So that's what I would call branding, and how I would say how important it is for small businesses at the moment.
Okay, wonderful.
Yeah.
You've worked with a lot of brand, and you've helped a lot of big brand evolve and grow. How does it feel? How do you feel being part of growing certain brand that you work with, especially London brand, African brands?
It's extremely exciting because I really believe in the ripple effects this have on society, like it has within the economy and in people's livelihoods. So for me, building African brands is not just, you know, it's fun, but then it's also about, you know, how we can grow our economies as well. So if we're able to go, if our brands are really recognizable, then it's easier for them to scale, you see. So for instance, if Christian decides to make, you know, a perfume or a deodorant spray, and, you know, we're able to build Christian's spray in Rwanda, and it's really recognizable. It's easier for Christian's spray to be exported to Tanzania to build that brand over there. And, you know, Christian, as an employer, employs, you know, people in his factory. These people in the factory employ people at their homes. And, you know, even if you look at the supply chain, people that are selling the spray at the different shops are also generating an income. So you see, building African brands, it's not just about, you know, the status that comes with it, but it's also about what it does to people's livelihoods. So if we commit to building African brands, and in turn consumers commit to consuming African products, then this is definitely going to have ripple effects into the economy. And that's what I would say about the, you know, how, what it means. I hope I didn't miss anything about your question, but, you know, when I speak about this, I'm very passionate about it, because I really believe that if we can all do our part, then definitely, you know, we'd have Christian Spray, if I give that example. Maybe you should give it a name now.
Okay. I need to think about maybe that.
Think about it. Then maybe, you know, we could have that in the US. And every time, you know, you go to the US, you're like, oh, wow, I used Christian Spray. I want to buy it in America, you know? Mm. And, you know, you can imagine what that would do for people and businesses, you know?
Oh, yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. Supporting businesses in the emerging markets, what are the challenges that you've seen small businesses usually face when it comes to building bond, and how they can tackle them?
I see. So there's a lot of challenges, but I think most businesses believe that they have budget constraints that inhibit them from branding themselves and, you know, doing any form of marketing. I think this, of course, there's a number of, you know, we cannot discredit this as a challenge, but there's a number of ways that small businesses can brand themselves without necessarily having to spend a lot or even spend at all. Because one thing that, again, we are very lucky to have in Africa is community. Mm. And because we have a community, if you think about it, you know, if you go to the mosque, if you go to church, if you know, here we in Rwanda, we have Umuganda, where everybody has, that's a community. You have Umuganda where people, you know, meet to go and clean the street and so on. That's a community. And through a community, you can also build your brand, and that doesn't necessarily have to cost a lot. So although budgeting or having a budget is a constraint, one of the things that I believe small businesses need to do is to leverage on their community to build their brands. And yeah, so that's the best way that I can say it in a very short time. But yes, that's what I would definitely advise on how they can tackle this as the major constraint. Another challenge that I see often is also lack of talent, but in the sense that it's more of lack of knowledge, the know-how. And again, I love to equate this to Darwinism, but I could talk about this for years, is that in markets that you see that are, so in markets where you see that there's a bigger population, people really understand the concept of branding and being distinct and also creating some form of consistency in their offering. So I mentioned that I lived in Ghana, and one of the things that people eat in Ghana is wache. I hope I'm saying it that right, which is basically like rice and beans and some spaghetti, and it's like people eat that for breakfast. So there's a lady who sells wache on the road, right? And that lady actually has signage. And when her business is doing well in a particular street, she will have a second branch, you know. So let's say Mama Awa's Wache, you know. So she'll open one, have her branding. She has a particular way she treats her customers. When that business is doing well, she opens the same brand with the same sign in another street. So that's I'm giving this example just to show that the know-how depends also on how the competition, how stiff the competition is in a market. And it's also something that we need to invest in. So businesses need to invest in learning, and in the digital world, there's a lot of content available online where people can learn for free how to build know-how. Sometimes comes naturally, as I gave the example of Mama Awa, who understands that if she needs to grow her business, she needs to stand out. As I equate that to Darwin's theory, but then also the know-how in countries where the competition is not as stiff needs to come from companies who needs to come from the companies themselves. To they need to invest in themselves, and they need to also learn, use the platforms that we have available to learn and improve themselves.
Beautiful. And I need your insights and your thoughts on, you know, with digital and technology, things are becoming more faster, the world is becoming more and more connected, competition is also tougher. How can a brand, how can a small businesses trying to build their brand stand out in a tougher competition where there are a lot of technological tools available? How can a small business stand out?
So small businesses, first, you know, I think they don't have to make it too complicated, because, you know, sometimes when people hear technology, they hear digital, they're like, hey, this man is too much, you know, but it doesn't have to be complicated. So what I would advise is for them to choose platforms where they want to appear, but choose the platform in relation to where their customers are, and create a system around those platforms. So if it's, you know, you want to create awareness and you want to create visibility for your business online, you can think about, you know, using Instagram. And sometimes people are like, oh, you know, I can't maintain these content on Instagram and so on. So what I always advise is that they create a guide for pictures or the content that they want to post, and they plan ahead. So for example, like the lady who sells Wache can plan her content. She doesn't necessarily have to hire a photographer or whatever. She can do it really simply with her phone. Say, you know, maybe I always want to show that my people, they sit, you know, my food is always cleanly packed, and you know, we do it with special care. So all her content and pictures are around that, and around the experience that the customer has with her product. And then she plans ahead, you know, she says, you know what, I will start posting every Tuesday and Friday, and that becomes her planning content. And then she says, you know what, I want to also create that relationship with my customers, so I also need to be on WhatsApp Business, because most of my customers like to also order for delivery or takeaway via WhatsApp. So she creates a WhatsApp Business platform. And then, you know, if she has somebody else managing the WhatsApp Business, she also again creates some form of guide. And this doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, something extremely complicated, but it's more of like, you know, we don't call our customers, hey, you know, we say dear customer, for example. So those are like small things that businesses need to think about, create a system, small, whereby, you know, if it's Mama Awa that's responding, or if it's her daughter, there is no difference in the way that they respond to customers via WhatsApp or via Instagram. There's like some form of guardrails that have been created in order to do so. So that's how I would say that businesses need to more or less plan or think about how they want to appear in the digital world.
Perfect. Yeah. That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And we are there is a trend these days where entrepreneurs, they're leveraging their personal brand as well to grow their business brand, and vice versa. What do you think about that? And is this something that's gonna be there in the future, leveraging both personal and business brand, or what's your take?
Yeah, I think it's really it's a good thing, because people are able to show how part of themselves, part of their values, are reflected in their brand. Depending on how this person has positioned themselves can help really accelerate their business. You see, I've given the example of the lady who's making the wache. She creates this whole, you know, experience on her food that, you know, it's done with love, taken care, like it's something that she does with her whole heart. So people gravitate towards her business because, you know, they want to buy from her. And, you know, so when she opens the second branch, they know that it's definitely the same love, the same tasty food that they're going to be able to receive. So I think that it's actually fantastic because, you know, nobody can replace you. But this also needs to be done strategically in the sense that, you know, if you're not part of your business, the quality and the product should also speak for itself. So we have really good examples in Rwanda as well. Where if I can, you know, give a shout out to my, for example, we have a lounge in Rwanda, it's called Bichu, which is done by Sonia, who's a good friend of mine. And she's actually built, used her personal brand to drive traffic towards her lounge. So, and she's done it effectively well, you know, with content that she does on her social media. And this has actually helped to create a feel of her lounge. So I think this is, you know, among one of the many examples. We also have in Rwanda, we have Sina Gerard, who's a big businessman and owns the popularly, you know, the Pan-African now chili brand Akawanga. And you know, in the beginning, everything around all the products that he has produced are known to be quality and are known to come from a particular part of Rwanda. And this has also helped grow his other products. So personal branding is something that is important and does not take away from the product itself. So it's something that brands and businesses need to consider as well.
Wonderful. And let me shift the gears to understand what is the best advice that you ever received in life?
Best advice that I ever received in life?
Yeah.
Wow. There's many. But I think one of the things that I really take at heart is that I don't know, really, it's not really a quote, but it's more of a way of life that, you know, sometimes you get so bogged down by future, like future hypothetical circumstances that you don't get to experience life or make decisions. So you make decisions over hypothetical things that are yet to happen. So I think that for me has been the best advice that, you know, if you're young today, the age that you have today, you'll never have it again. And do not make decision based on the facts that you have at the moment and the realities that you're experiencing at the moment. So I think that's basically the advice that has really helped me. And in addition to that, I'd say it's in French, le temps passé ne revient plus. And if you've watched, it's actually in a movie called La vie est belle, that Papa Wemba features in. And I think that for me is one of the greatest advice I've ever received because it ties down to everything I've said previously because, you know, time that's gone never comes back. Yeah.
And your biggest regret in life, if you have any?
My biggest regret in life. That's a very good question. I cannot think of anything at the moment because, you know, I'm a strong believer that, you know, everything happens for a reason and everything, you know, everything is working out for my good, you know. Hallelujah. I can't actually think of anything, but, you know, most of the time, the things that I regret the most is food that I never eat. You know how sometimes, I can't think of anything at the moment. But yeah, whenever I'm like regretting something, I'm like, man, I should have eaten that, you know.
Okay, got you.
Yeah.
And what are the brands that you admire the most and why?
Oh, the brands that I admire the most. I'll say African brands, you know. I'll try and say, let me think. Brands that I admire the most. So I'd like to think of, there's a few, huh? There's Kai Collective. So Kai Collective is by this lady, this African lady. She created her own clothing brand. And what I find very, very admirative about this is that, you know, the fact that, you know, she's African, she's really created an international brand that have been worn by international celebrities, and then she's done it in a way that's really authentic to herself. And she's young, she's bold, and I think that's really, really admirative. I'd say that that's really a really impressive brand right now. Yeah.
Perfect.
And yeah, I think, do you know Kai Collective?
No, I don't.
You don't? Should.
So it's very Kai Collective comes first to your list.
That's right now, yes. So there's a number of African brands. There's a number of other brands, you know. There's a Cameroonian guy who's created the amazing, I haven't bought it yet, but he's also created a shoe brand called Ice. And I think that's, again, an example of a brand that is amazing, because, you know, this, you know, paired with a very good marketing strategy and so on, definitely has, and it's already international, but definitely will go even further across the globe, because, you know, it's quality products and it's made in Africa. And that's really what I'm about and believe in. So that's another brand that I have my eyes set out on and that I really admire. There's a number of international brands as well, but I'm trying to train myself.
Oh, right.
You know, because, you know, we always have, like, whenever someone asks you what's your favorite brand, everybody comes up, you know, with an international brand that's been there for years. But imagine, as I was saying, we start to change the narrative and we all start to, like, really reframe our thinking to, you know, whenever you're being asked about a brand, can you practice thinking about an African brand first? Because, you know, the more we do that, the more, you know, we're going to really build huge brands in Africa. So I think it's something that we all need to practice, and because there's definitely going to always be the likes of Coca-Cola, Unilever, which are, you know, they have years of experience and so on. It's something that we cannot discredit, but the more we practice mentioning African brands, the more we are also going to get, you know, some of these brands being as huge as all these other international brands that we like to mention whenever, you know, marketing experts are invited to speak. Yes, so those are the brands that I can think of at the moment. And there's a lot. I mentioned Tina Gérard. I think it's huge, the products that they've been able to create. We also have our very own Motions that's doing incredible stuff, and that's, you know, really being disruptive. There's a number of brands in Kenya and elsewhere that I can mention, but definitely Africa has its share Africans also have its share of great brands.
Beautiful.
What's your favorite brand?
My favorite brand That's a good question. Like, in Rwanda, African brands in Africa. I need to go back into my saved Instagram, save Instagram posts. I save a few. Nothing pops up into my mind now. But in Rwanda, it mentions in House of Tayo. And of course, I'm a big fan also of AC Group, the way they're disrupting transportation, public transportation. And yeah.
Great.
All right. So my other question is, when it comes to bonding in a digital world, what are they do and don'ts?
So in the digital world, I'd say first the don'ts would be, it ties down to what I'd mentioned before. Don't make it too complicated. There's a lot of free platforms at the moment that can help you build a brand, free platforms where you can create your website, even apps actually that can help you create your website. Don't make it too complicated to create a distinct persona. I think it's something sometimes you brands that are trying to appear in the digital space are not consistent. And so again, there's a lot of free platforms, Canva and so on, that can help you in case you don't have the design skills to create your own brand color palette and then use the same colors to communicate whenever you are presenting yourself out there. So I would definitely say don't mix colors and not to be consistent. So it's important to be consistent. Another thing is also don't be afraid to try, because most people are like, when something is on the internet, it's difficult to erase it. But no, don't be afraid to try. I think if we all need to make bold moves if you want to appear in the digital world. And so those are the don'ts that I would mention. In terms of the do's, I mentioned this before, was to choose the platforms where you want to appear and do so consistently, plan ahead, but be disruptive as well. I'm not saying that only do Tuesday, Wednesday. If there's a trend that you can ride on, definitely do that. Be disruptive in the sense that create a space space for your brand in terms of communication, create something different, and do also involve others. I think, as I mentioned before, is that we are very lucky to as Africans to have community, so you can definitely leverage on other people's strengths, leverage on other people's voices, your customers, who can also help you create visibility on your brand, in the digital world. So because now if somebody has access to a phone and they are your customer, then definitely they can do something to increase your reach and your visibility. So those are things that do not be afraid to have your customers or ask your customers to share some of the work that you do. Do not be afraid to try different techniques or use technology in what it is that you do. So that's what I would say.
Beautiful. And let me wrap up this conversation with my last question. How can Rwandan businesses, when they're thinking of growing their brand, compete on the continent and worldwide? How can we improve on what we are already doing to create premium brands?
Great. I'd say that we're already doing, we're already trying. But as far as you said, in terms of improving, is that again, is to be authentic to ourselves, and to learn how to tell better stories of what is it that we offer. There's a lot of savoir-faire in what we do. Even if you think about weaving, there's a lot of artistry in what we do, and artistry and creating special something authentic to ourselves is what would help us create premium brands. A good example of this is a brand that's actually made in Rwanda. It's called Iwawa Rwanda, and it does embroidery. And I think they've done a really good, it's a good example of how brands can really build themselves to compete on the continent, because they've really told the story of, you know, embroidery and what it means for the ladies that are actually doing this. And this has allowed embroidery work to travel across the continent and across the world. So just to wrap that up, it's that, you know, be authentic. We need to be authentic to ourselves. We need to learn how to tell better stories. We need to choose the right platforms that increase our reach beyond Rwanda. Leverage our community to tell stories, because Rwandans are not just in Rwanda. We have a huge diaspora network. So leverage on these people as well to tell stories about our products. And they can only tell stories about our products if we've told those stories to them, so they can also reshare them with their community. So I'd say that's what we need to do more of. And definitely consume Rwandan products. I think, you know, there's also a responsibility on the consumers as well, because, you know, as much as you're building a brand, you are also a consumer yourself. So that's what I would say for businesses, Rwandan businesses to consider. Yeah.
Beautiful. And by that, we are coming to the end of this conversation. Thank you so much, Asteli, for making it. I really learned a lot.
Thank you for having me. This was incredible. You know, I overcame my stage fright.
Wonderful. And for the listeners, if you enjoyed the conversation and you have some questions, feel free to shoot us a DM on the socials. And thanks a lot for listening. We were discussing about branding in a digital world, and my guest was Asteli Ngarambe. And thanks a lot for listening. And I speak to you guys next week.